It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
As far as this city's concerned, it's a more recent developed hate that remains hot. So I understand no one wanting to watch the Dodgers play against the Blue Jays last night. I am a conscientious objector to the World Series this year. On moral grounds, I'm not watching. Mainly, I don't want to see the Dodgers have any success. Those are my moral grounds. So I didn't watch. I certainly wasn't going to stay up. I don't know if this is unique to baseball. The fact now, when the game went a long, long time. So I'm trying to think. If it was the NBA Finals, and let's just say it went a remarkable like three or four overtimes. It's only 5 minutes per period. So at most, with stoppages of play, they have less TV timeouts during overtime. Let's say you add another 40 minutes to your night. There's no real comp. I guess a football playoff game can go as long as you want, but baseball is the only sport where you can be up at 1:30 watching the championship series. So I can't really equate it to, hey, would this happen in the NFL? First of all, of course it wouldn't. People would just stay up to watch the Super Bowl finish no matter how long it kept going. So I saw a lot on the timeline. I didn't know who won until I woke up. This is not a show that cares about ratings, but it is baseball's unique problem, I would say. And it doesn't pop up all that often, but some people, particularly in the Central and East Coast, ain't got the energy, ain't got the care, particularly in this city, to see how a innings, maybe time eating, more specific, but a World Series game that goes 18 closes out. You know what? I'll find out about it in the morning. Turns out the Dodgers won. They went 6-5. Freddie Freeman hits a home run to win it for them. So they're up 2-1 in that series. But for the rest of us, who cares? Dodgers win. Not great. George is hurt. That isn't great. Maybe Sean has the magic touch when he says, or when he plays Shred'em Shroud. When I shout out George Springer at the end of a show, maybe I'm the mush. Because I said, good luck, George. And now he's hurt. Now he's hurt. So maybe no more good luck shout outs for me to close out a show. Or if I do it, it's because I want you to get hurt. And we'll just see if I have the magic.
Yeah.
Unfortunate that George is banged up. He has had good times in that building in the World Series. I was looking for him to do that again, but 0-3, and then he had to leave the game.
In my book, that game doesn't go 18 innings if George Springer's in there.
This is what I'm saying.
I mean, I think one of the I forgot who actually replaced him, but chances are they played basically a second game. Chances are that guy came up with a chance to do something and didn't, because it wasn't just that it went 18 innings. It was that no one scored since the eighth.
Yeah.
Like
they won an entire game without anyone scoring.
Yeah,
to go
one thing if there's like two solo shots in the 13th or something. It's like, nope, it was just just men left on base for the entire outs in the base paths the entire time.
That's a long time to go without scoring a run, and all the drama that comes from playing in the World Series. Yeah, I'm. As I said, I did not watch, so I'm, because why would I? But I'm looking to see all the opportunities that took place, and there weren't really a lot of threats as you just go through it.
Yeah,
the Dodgers had a double in the bottom of 13th. Edmund had a double, didn't lead to anything. Guys were walked, so they had bases loaded at one point. Just couldn't get it done. They had a leadoff double.
Dodgers. I thought Kershaw was going to walk the winning run at some point.
Yeah,
he didn't.
It just played out in a way where no one could come through, and then you had to wait until Freddie Freeman came through, and now the Dodgers are up 2-1 in that series. Yamamoto was warming. That's how long that game was going on, that a guy who a couple nights ago pitched a complete game. Hey, we might need you, buddy, for an out or maybe an inning, because we know you aren't throwing for a couple days anyway. So let's see if you got something in the tank. They didn't have to do that, thanks to Freddie Freeman. A leadoff home run in the bottom of the 18th to win it. So the Dodgers are halfway there, at least as far as this series is concerned, to back-to-back titles, which ain't cool. All right, so that happened. Something that happened very much earlier as far as the conclusion. In fact, you know what? Before the game was played, we knew the Rockets were winning. Like, the Nets scored early and pretty easily. And then at that point, when they took out Michael Porter Jr., Cam Thomas, and started inserting some of those five first-rounders they took in the most recent draft, it became not a real basketball game. The Rockets have played two tough opponents their first two games. They play the world champions almost to a standstill, went to double overtime. Of course, the Pistons came in here trying to rough people up and eventually turned that game into a slugfest, which they won. The Nets offered little resistance. The Rockets did whatever they wanted to. We talked about it. They needed to win it. They got it. That's all you have to say. I mean, watching the Nets play basketball, I'm glad I only have to do it twice a year. I don't know if Net fans are going to lock in for 70-plus games, but they don't really have to. You're likely going to lose Cam Thomas at the end of the year. You may be rooting for that because he will be an unrestricted free agent. He's going to look for a bag someplace. And I don't know how Cam Thomas and Michael Porter Jr. can coexist as far as when you have two guys of that level of wanting to get shots. It's just better off. Send one guy away. Michael Porter Jr. is under contract. You got like five first round picks. You gotta try to figure out who's good and who isn't. And let the Cam Thomas thing expire. He can't be happy there. You didn't pay him what he wanted. Let this year play out. Maybe you trade him. Who knows? But Nets basketball is a rough experience. But we thank them for showing up to Houston last night because it made it easy on the Rockets.
Needed them to show up.
Yeah.
Sooner than later.
The Nets were a palate cleanser. You know, you're not feeling great. You played two tough games, two playoff teams, and you needed the Nets to come in. Tari Eason shot the ball well. Good to see him knock down some threes. It was just an easy night all around.
Being 0 for whatever just sucks. You know, even if it is 0-3, it's like that just isn't fun. You know, let's get a win on the board. So when they're talking about the, you know, remaining winless or undefeated teams, like, okay, we're not the Nets.
Yeah,
we're 1-2.
We're not all coupled with the Nets anymore. It's
1-2. Not a great start, but not embarrassing. Not like a, hey, when's this team going to start winning games? No, we're good. They were literally a slump buster because, like you said, Tari Eason had a good game. Reed Sheppard played pretty well. That, boom, there you go. That's Brooklyn Nets basketball. Hey, has anyone gotten off to a rough start of the season? We'll change that right here. Here's Igor Dimon guarding you.
Nolan Traore. Ooh, just tough. He's young.
Again, half the rotation is rookies.
Guys
from
a not-so-great draft class.
A not-so-great draft class that I think the first pick was Dimon at like 8.
Yeah, it's not like they even had a top 5
no,
pick.
No, not two top picks. Nope.
Yeah, no VJ Edgecombe on that roster right now.
No Dylan Harper.
None of that. Yeah.
Igor Dimon.
And Ben Seraph, who's in a starting
lineup. Yeah. How could I forget? Ben Seraph.
It would have been easy.
Danny Wolfe out there.
Igor didn't get to play. Nolan Traore and Ben Seraphin. You know when you got an Etienne, but it's a basketball player?
Nah.
It's not great for you. Tyson didn't get a lot of minutes, but he was out there playing. Tyson Etienne. Look, there's not a lot to break down.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, you put up 137. You weren't challenged. The game was over at the half.
Yeah, that's what you need to do.
And that's all you need to do. Get off the 0-2 mark and get yourself a win. And then you move on. You'll go to Toronto on Wednesday. You go up to Canada on Wednesday, and we'll see. That's another not good team, although they have plenty of guys getting paid a lot of money to play in the NBA. As far as names you've heard, RJ Barrett, Brandon Ingram, and Emmanuel Quickley's on that team. Of course, Scotty Barnes is on that team. So they got a lot of guys who probably don't fit together, but on a given night, talent might win out. It'll be a better challenge.
Yeah, I was going to say. You'll have to actually put in a real effort. You know, if you come in there just not trying at all, like, they're going to beat you.
Yeah.
But if this team just plays with the effort that they did, even in the first two games where they lost, they'll probably beat the Raptors. That's how much of a step down they are, especially from the Thunder. That's not breaking news. But even from the Pistons, it is like, oh, okay. That instead of Scotty Barnes and – or not Scotty Barnes. Instead of Cade Cunningham and a bunch of guys that want to fight me, it's Scotty Barnes and – Emmanuel Quickley and
sure, Brandon Ingram.
Brandon Ingram,
they're fine. Players.
Don't want to fight me.
Yeah, Jamal Shedd may annoy you.
Yeah,
may
he pick might
up full court, but it is what it is. The Raptors got pants by the Spurs because the Spurs have Victor Wembanyama and Dylan Harper, as you mentioned. Perhaps the De'Aaron Fox trade may be one. They're like, maybe we should have held out.
Yeah, two games in or three, however many
four games,
played. Four games.
Yeah,
four, wow.
No. Yeah.
Whoa.
They have not lost. Now, the schedule has not been...
They screwed them.
Not been tough. De'Aaron Fox has not played yet. And we talked about it. They made that trade not knowing they would be able to get the second pick.
They should have called out Adam Silver before making that trade.
Well,
like, are you going to give us the second pick?
They did not know Wimby wasn't going to be able to play the rest of the year, so they made the trade.
That's right.
And so it all broke down, and surprisingly, it worked out for the Spurs because they never have lottery luck or anything.
No. It was the first time in franchise history they got bailed out.
That something worked out for them in the lottery.
Honestly, this is like the worst result that they've had in the lottery.
Yeah, Dylan Harper.
Dylan Harper, number two.
Yeah.
Normally they get number one, and they get flagged.
And even when they're good, they wind up watching teams pass on Kawhi. So it all works out.
Whatever.
And now,
what a great job they did building that team.
Simply being terrible and letting...
Drafting.
And getting lucky. Yeah. And now Wimby...
Drafting the obvious choice at every pick.
Now Wimby is going to be an MVP candidate for the rest of his basketball life, as long as he's healthy. So that's what we have to deal with here.
Sweet.
We got a pretty good team here, and they'll get a chance to prove it as we move forward. We'll hear from Kevin Durant when we come back. We talked about the lack of opposition the Nets brought to the table. The Rockets score 137. We'll hear from Kevin Durant on how ball movement makes it easy on the team. We'll also hear from the Texans because D'Amico Ryans is in a self-caused fight with the media for some reason. And in this case, the media did push back, and that media is DJ Bieniemy. You'll hear DJ at the end of the clip that we'll get to, and rightfully so, in his response to D'Amico Ryans talking about apparently the media is out to get the Texans all of a sudden. So we'll hear from D'Amico Ryans when we come back as well. We've got two pairs of Cougar tickets to give away. So if you want a chance to watch the Cougs at 7-1 go against West Virginia this Saturday, we got two pairs of tickets for that. Willie Fritz joined the morning show to break down what happened in the Cougs' win against Arizona State, a win where they got out early and had to hold off Arizona State. Was never really worried because, you know, Jeff Sims had to play quarterback. We'll do our misery index as well. And if not for high-level discussions, LSU would have been firmly on the list. Maybe not so much. You fire a coach, you feel a lot better.
Shout to the governor.
Yeah, who now wants a particular statue on the LSU campus, having nothing to do with LSU.
As long as it's not Brian Kelly, we're good.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
Oh.
Okay. I don't think it's another white guy, but not Brian Kelly. That one is never happening. They did not like him. He didn't particularly like them. He just liked all the zeros on that paycheck. So we'll get into some college football, certainly. And we'll talk to you, 713-780-3776. Kevin Durant when we come back. D'Amico Ryans when we come back. We'll be back.
But first, hey, YouTube TV customers, You could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, our beloved college football, our beloved college game day, Monday Night Football, where we got to watch the Chiefs come out victorious last night, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So let's hear from Kevin Durant, and then we'll get to some Texans stuff. Kevin Durant and his Rockets win an easy one. He only had to play 25 minutes, scored 19 points in those 25 minutes, as the Rockets, with a balanced effort, took care of the Nets. You had seven guys scoring double figures, including Reed Shepard and Tar Eason off the bench. So you got contributions from everywhere. It felt like the entire roster played because the fourth quarter was just, let's play out the string. Here's Kevin Durant on the ball movement and what that does for a team.
So how much easier does it make it on the entire team when you have teammates that are willing to pass, especially off a double team?
Yeah, it just keeps everybody relaxed. You know, when you're not passing the ball, everybody feels, you know, a little bit more tense. They don't know when their opportunity is going to come. So when we move the ball and guys know we're going to make that extra pass from a good to a great shot, then you just play more relaxed and you're better all around when you're just more relaxed.
Yeah, 33 assists on 49 made field goals. That's a good that's good distribution. And they switched up their starting lineup. They went away from double bigs, and Josh Okogie was your starter in place of Steven Adams. So what we saw in the preseason, where if it wasn't Steven Adams, it was Reed Shepard, that was just, I guess, a preseason thing. They're going to go with wings plus a big, it appears, if Steven Adams isn't your second big. So Josh Okogie had a nice night, knocked down a couple threes early, part of the Rockets' win. So
feels like an indictment on the season that Reed and Tar Eason have had, where it's like Josh Okogie is
going to start. Those two guys needed a good night, and they both had it last night. But yeah, that Josh
before last night, it was like
that Josh Okogie gets slid into the starting lineup as opposed to Tari if you want to go with another wing. Or Reed, if you actually wanted to go with a guard, it is maybe a little telling as far as what they think, at least what they think when their best starting lineup is.
When is Dorian Finney-Smith coming back? Oof.
It's not a bad point. When Dorian Finney-Smith is healthy and they want to go with wings, it's probably going to be him starting.
Yeah, every time Okogie's on the court, I'm like, in however, 3 weeks, that's just going to be Dorian Finney-Smith. It's going to be crazy.
Despite what Tari wanted to project for himself this season as far as more reps, more opportunities. Look, he played the 26 in the blowout, and like he scored 22. He knocked down shots.
Yeah.
I just don't know what's going on there. Starting doesn't matter in some ways, particularly if you can close. Don't know that Tari's going to be a closer for this team either.
Yeah, but playing well does.
Playing well will help, and he did that. But through the first three, he wasn't playing that well. So he went with a guy who had at least played well in his limited opportunities, and Josh Okogie will get the start. I wonder if we see that in Toronto, because if you talk about that roster and that starting lineup in Toronto, it is a bunch of wings plus quickly.
Yeah, yeah. It would make sense to go more wingy there.
Yeah, if you look at like we kind of ran down.
Yeah,
Toronto's
quickly
lineup.
Barrett.
Yeah, you got Ingram. Jakob Poto, who will be your big, but it's quickly Barnes, Barrett, Ingram, bunch of wings plus a center, and quickly as your guard. So I would not be surprised if they go away from Steven Adams again. That Okogie's in that starting lineup again. Just how your head coach operates. It's really no surprise. We reference it all the time. The man was playing Jeff Green in closing minutes in a season that wound up being 500 as opposed to Jabari Smith Jr. So Okogie, what we thought was kind of a, huh, that's interesting, just a throwaway signing, it felt like, starting in game four.
Yeah, yeah. That, I mean, I'm sure Ime Udoka would love if that was Tari Eason just for the first two games. And like you said, he's very results-driven. He's very like, well, you're not playing well, so I'm not going to start you if you're not
playing. I'm not going to reward
well.
You for
if I don't have
well.
To, I'm not going to reward you for that. So, yeah.
I've got a guy I can go to.
Yeah. So, you know, if Tari Eason has, you know, four straight games that are good, not they don't all have to be 22 points on, you know, just not turning the ball over, making shots, making plays, then I think he would be the starter over Josh Okogie. Same thing with Reed Sheppard. If Reed Sheppard can put together a stretch where not turning the ball over, shooting the ball well, distributing, then he would be the starter on non-double big days. But until that happens, he's going to go with Josh Okogie, who's played well. And you can't really, you know, the logic makes sense. We talk a lot about, like, the Texans, how they run their team, and how, like, logically the Jalen Knoll stuff, like, didn't make sense before this week. Or how the Astros, like, some stuff that they do just doesn't logically make sense. The Ime Udoka starting lineup stuff or who gets playing time makes perfect sense to me. It's very consistent, and it's like, this guy is playing well, I will play him. That is what it is.
In some ways, it's just a meritocracy. If you play well, you keep playing. If you don't play well, your minutes will be limited. It doesn't matter what your status is.
Yeah, there's some, like, hey, I'm just going to trust, like, you know, he always trusted Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks. Like, those guys had a little bit more trust.
Very true.
But the young guys, I was like, you got to earn what you eat.
Yeah, that's right. And right now, hasn't been done.
No.
But you mentioned distributing. Reed Sheppard at the 8 assists, only 2 turnovers.
I thought he played well.
So that was a good reversal of what has been going on through the first couple games.
He got right against Sam Houston. That's what he did.
Yeah, it's the Texans thing we talk about, where if you play a real team, how good are you going to look? Yeah. And they got that done against the 49ers. Although it's funny, let me finish the point before I get to that. Reed Sheppard didn't really play a real team in the Nets, but he looked good, so we'll see. Toronto, more of a real team. Not great, but has at least some established NBA players on it. We'll see if what happened last night continues up in Canada. So we've talked a lot about the Texans not doing well against real football teams. That changed against the 49ers. And from the Texans' perspective, you start to look at what they did right on the All-22. That's out, so anyone who makes a bit of a living breaking down Texan stuff has access to that. So they just break down, hey, this play worked. Look at the adjustments that Nick Haley made. I got into a wormhole of 49ers film breakdown, and boy, was this guy not thrilled with what those guys are doing. So it's interesting to just see the different perspectives. If you go by what a Texans, I guess, content creator would say, Nick Haley made this adjustment. CJ got the ball out quickly. Those things were open against Seattle. He just didn't get to him. And so when CJ plays like this, he can do this. And then I look at what the 49er guy did. He's like, this guy's out of position. This guy didn't play the defense right. This guy didn't play the defense right. So if the 49er content creator is correct, and I'll find the name for him, then I hope the Texans with the Denver Broncos coming up without Patrick Surtain. So that's a big boost for the Texans. But they do have some really good pass rushers and a pretty good defense. I hope they realize, yeah, this worked here, but this guy clearly didn't play the defense right. I don't know if teams self-scout that way and go, yeah, that play worked, but it wouldn't have worked if someone ran the defense correctly. I was like, wow, all the good things I felt about how the Texans operated, this guy's just telling you.
Raining on the parade.
That the 49ers gave them all of this because of all these young guys and inexperienced guys playing. They didn't run the defense right. Look, this isn't me saying the Texans don't get credit. It's just me a little worried going, is he right? Did these guys just misplay all these defenses and that's what led to all the success?
Don't let D'Amico know
what
you're doing.
This is what I'm getting to.
Don't let D'Amico.
This is not me being negative. This is me just seeing a different perspective and hoping.
Some others are saying.
Hoping this guy's wrong. Hoping that guy's wrong about what he saw from his 49er defense and the Texans. Texans caused all those problems by how well they played.
That
is my hope. But it just made me, wow. According to him, 49ers effed this all up.
Y'all good?
Well, let's hear D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans, this is the second consecutive time he's been up at a podium in front of a microphone and is taking issue with how his team is being covered. And you'll hear some pushback at the very end from DJ Bienname, but this is D'Amico Ryans acknowledging, or at least in his eyes, acknowledging all the negative talk around his team.
No, it really doesn't matter. I mean, here you can see it's a lot of negative talk about us. We get it. I hear people try to give it to me all the time. I get it, right? It's like, but it really doesn't matter, right? I talk about it. Everybody wants to write a hot story, and most of the time it's negative stuff that people want to talk about, right? Nobody wants to talk about the positive stuff that happens. And again, if you feed off of that and you're riding the pendulum of, oh, we're great because we won. No, we suck because we lost. Fight. Like, that's our business. I get it. But that's the nature of it. We keep moving forward. Really, it doesn't drive anything. It means nothing, literally nothing, to what we're about. Like, it does nothing to drive our team. We just got to go out and play good football.
You don't think you've gotten any positive stuff?
Yeah, I was about to say that. Like, the first
you, you don't think you've gotten any praise at all?
Guys, it's what's your question?
I'm just saying, like, everybody says negative.
I said that's what people thrive on is the negative stuff. Everybody yeah. Says
negative, but you don't think you've gotten any positive?
I said people thrive on the negative. You guys are good. You guys must be the ones with the negative stuff. We're playing football. You talk about outside noise. I say it again. It doesn't matter. Good, bad, it doesn't change how we prepare. It doesn't change our week of preparation. We're going to work. We're going to work our best, the game plan our best, and go out and play good football.
Well, but for your first couple years and a half, like, you've gotten nothing but positive coverage for the majority of the time. So when you say everybody wants to focus on the negative – and not write about the positive. I don't know if that's, how is that accurate when you've been here for a couple of years, you've got a lot of positive coverage.
You guys good?
That was at the very end, DJ Bienname. Before that, it was Bienname, I believe, Will Kunkel. They both took issue with D'Amico Ryans' claims. Look, as a head coach, he can talk about what they focus on and what doesn't drive them, but this is the second consecutive day you've talked about noise in a, and not, he's doing it dismissively, but he's elaborating. Like, if he was prompted to, hey, D'Amico, you talked about negative noise yesterday. Hey, yeah, that's a thing, but we're moving on. If he would have done that, we're moving on to Denver. Okay, but he had more thoughts on it. And while people have their thoughts on reporters, generally when the team is going good, they don't want to hear anything from a reporter that might suggest something negative or the media gets painted a certain way. I understand. It happens. And the team, when the team's going bad, then you say, hey, we will need the media to hold them to account. I don't know what D'Amico Ryans is doing, honestly, because if we just go by what has been the first 2+ years, he's almost an untouchable here. Like, it all stems from him not being the guy after the guy. He was the guy after three guys weren't the guy. Bill O'Brien at the very end, David Culley, and Lovie Smith. He got the benefit of, oof, at least you're not those three guys. Plus, he played here. No, not a negative thing to say about him as a player. It was all love. He came from a successful place, ran good defenses. It's all, hey, we're excited. And he rewarded people's trust with 2 division titles immediately and 2 playoff wins. The first sign of things not going well after the expectations he has set for the team, when he's telling Will Anderson, and Will Anderson's putting it out there, that the goal is put the bull on the ring, that means Super Bowl, people are going to have expectations. And if things fall short of them, now you catch the other end of the spectrum. Hey, we thought you were supposed to be good. How come you're not winning football games? I don't know how that can be perceived as negative. That's just, hey, you guys aren't winning games. You're supposed to win games. We can at least talk about you not winning games. Instead, he set himself up as, I don't know if victim is the word or his team's being victimized by the media, but we're here to just talk about the games, and everyone can see when you up until Sunday, when you played teams who had pulses, you didn't win. Mostly to do with your offense. And that's fine to say. But you know, We're thriving on the negative.
Just negative.
Who's thriving? Is the media thriving on the negative? Yeah. Are fans thriving on the negative?
Thriving on it.
I'm not thriving on it.
Yeah, no. Last week, the negative, I was like, let's just not talk about it.
We avoided it.
I was doing the opposite of thriving on it. I was like, I can't
deal.
It's so bad. I don't want to deal with it.
Oh, yeah. You only won in one segment because of how bad they were, and you don't want to talk about them. Yeah, after the Seattle game. I don't know, man. It feels like he's now dealing with what it's like to be a coach of a football team when things aren't shiny and sunny, and he doesn't like it. And I understand not liking it, but I'm going to say this. He brought that yesterday on himself.
Yeah, do you think Bill O'Brien was watching that being like, yeah, you really have it tough,
D'Amico. Doesn't matter, D'Amico.
You really have it tough.
Yeah.
You really? Oh. Man, they're so mean to you, D'Amico.
Yeah, sure.
He had to defend winning back-to-back AFC South champions. So much it became
doesn't
a
matter,
meme.
Brian. Doesn't matter.
Like
2 years in a row. Just want to say that
people didn't want to give him credit so bad that he had to be like, "We won back to back. Doesn't matter what it looked like."
D'Amico has to fumble goodwill.
Yes. Yeah. That's like the. I think that's the crux of it. Is that people want to like D'Amico Ryan.
They want him to be successful. They want this to go well, and not just the team. A lot of people want it to go well for him.
Yeah.
He is that liked. It's not like. I hope the team wins and I gotta swallow D'Amico Ryan's having success like it was with Bill O'Brien. They want all the success for him. I even think beyond like some media who just wants to be friends, even the media who's just doing the job objectively, they wouldn't mind D'Amico having a lot of success and the Texans having a lot of success. They're not rooting against you.
Yeah, that's the thing, like with the local media, it's like a lot of times I'm not saying they're rooting for him, but they are their career is incentivized if this becomes like a dynastic run. If this becomes a thing where they're covering Super Bowls and
deep playoff
on big show on the bigger shows, they're like, let's talk about the Texans.
Yeah, I'm sure DJ BNMA would love to be on Pat McAfee talking about the Texans heading to the playoffs as a number one seed
for them to be good.
Yeah, I don't know what this is. This is a As John said this morning, this is a soft-ass town when it comes to criticism.
That was my take, is that did the city of Houston or did the Houston media scene, did they earn their stripes this week by, you won, so what? We're still on your neck.
No.
Not really, because they're not really on their neck.
No, and it just depends on who you are. Like, if you are someone who doesn't like the media and is a fan of D'Amico Ryan's, you're going to say they were being insensitive. I'm aware of who of this job and I guess what I qualify as media. I think it's a head coach being a little sensitive in a town that doesn't really criticize him very much. That's all. It's fine. And then when he goes, "Hey, you guys good?"
To end the press conference.
It's apparently he does that quite a bit to just say, "Hey, we're done. Anybody got any more questions?" But he did it a couple times in the middle of that. And then afterwards, it makes it sound like, "Hey, y'all are being a little sensitive. You good out there? You guys good?" That's the tone it felt like at the end. It's fine. Just go out there and win games. Because you know what happens? If your quarterback gets hit 10 times because you can't block the Broncos, you're going to wish you can go back to this week. That's all. Winning games cures all. That's the only answer because he can do the whole we're not being tough on you. You thrive on negativity. If you're 3-5, we don't have to drum up negativity. Just go win football games and everyone will be fine for the most part. KJ, I see you. You want to talk to D'Amico? Anyone else does? 713-780-3776. But before we do that, I want to remind you guys. Both people on this show are YouTube TV subscribers, so we understand what could happen if ESPN goes away. There goes my college football weekend, so I got to go to a sports bar to watch college football this weekend if ESPN goes away off of YouTube TV. I would have missed last night's thrilling Monday night game. I mean, it wasn't thrilling, but the Chiefs were out there playing. I would have missed it. I would have missed the conversations being had right now on ESPN on First Take. You don't want to lose your college game day. You don't want to lose Monday night football. You don't want to lose the NBA. Go to keepmynetworks.com, keepmynetworks.com, to keep your ESPN on YouTube TV.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We still will give away Cougs tickets. We got two pairs, actually. The young professionals in the morning didn't do their job, so we'll do it for them. Yes, I'm on that show, but I take no responsibility for why those tickets aren't given out. I let the powers that be know they had tickets to give away, and they refused. So we'll do it on this show. A couple pairs of tickets. Cougs versus West Virginia. Cougs trying to get to 8-1. And we're joined by a current Coug. He doesn't play for the team, but I don't think you ever lose your Coug fandom, particularly when you graduated from the school. What's up, KJ?
Hello?
Maybe it's a different KJ. What's up, KJ?
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
Oh, it's the same one. What's up, man? How are you?
All right. So I just have a question, which you may notice in, or Sean may know, from Sunday. Did D'Amico initiate that conversation slash comment without being questioned about it from the beginning, which led to, because yesterday, I mean, and I'll be full disclosure, Landry Locker asked about it. Landry is always about the negative. He don't never focus on the positive. That's why he got fired from where he got fired from. Because they heard him on their show every day, badgering every little thing that the Texans did. And so the owner said they wanted him out of there. So he does thrive on the negative. I don't know about BJ because, I mean, I don't follow as much of his writing. But my question is, did D'Amico lead with that on Sunday, and then did they basically rehash it on Monday after the fact to where it got to that, to where it got to, where it got to yesterday? So, because I'm not, like I said, I'm not taking, if D'Amico brought it up, Sunday and they didn't get to ask those questions, that's one thing. If he answered all the questions Sunday about it, if he brought it up, they asked, it should be over. I had the same issue back in the day with Rich Lloyd. He was the same way. All he did was harp on negative when it comes to the team, and it gives off to the fans and to the people who are listening that you don't even like the team. So why are you even here, right? You know, hey, I know you've been knowing you for, in 17 years now, and you're not a quote-unquote Texans fan. You're not from here. You've never been a Texans, but you don't come on every single opportunity you get to just badger every single negative thing you do. In turn, you talk about your own team, and when your coaches, if you feel that inept, you talk about it. You know, and that's the bottom line when it comes to this. But my question to you or Sean, if either you know, did D'Amico basically bring this up on his own Sunday after the win, or did someone ask him a question about it, and then did it get rehashed yesterday by those same people after asking questions on Sunday, and then they bring it up again Monday?
So,
do you know?
I don't, but I certainly have the ability to find out because the Texans make their pressures available. So while I don't have the answer for you right now, I will have it before the end of the show because I can just find them.
Right,
so I'll try to find that for you before we go, because I don't know the circumstances. We only get the clips in the form. You kind of hear them. We'll do a little bit of editing, but I don't know how it began. I just know that at this point, what he is discussing, he may just be sick and tired of whoever asked, as you said. I don't know that DJ Bieniemy or Will Kunkel were the ones who were particularly under attack from D'Amico Ryans. You mentioned Landry Locker. I don't know the circumstances. I just know that this is the second time in 2 days where negativity or his lack of appreciation for the negativity has been a topic of conversation. So I'll try to figure that out for you and see if he's being badgered or is he bringing it up himself and wanted to do it for a second day in a row. All right. Appreciate the call, Kevin Joseph, your Cougs on Saturday against West Virginia trying to get to 8-1. You know what? the most important thing is, as we said before, just go out and beat the Broncos. If you don't like the negativity, go win football games, and people, if they are being overly negative, you can see through them and say, all right, you're just being who you are. I don't really have to address you. But if there are some real reasons why people are questioning you, I don't think it's out of bounds for you to answer those questions.
Yeah, just after the win, just you're one step closer to...
Doesn't matter, Brian. AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
I don't know if you get the three.
Doesn't matter what it looked like. Back in the playoffs. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Maybe back
in the playoffs. Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
You didn't mean to interrupt. Maybe not back in the playoffs.
Are you good? You guys good?
Maybe not 3 years in a row as far as AFC South. The Colts seem like they've got that locked down. But, you know, you can still go make the playoffs. The Chiefs didn't do any favors. They seem to be back on track at 5-3 after beating up on the Commanders last night. So if we look at the potential path.
There's two ways that can go. One was that one. The other one.
The Broncos are in town.
The Broncos are in town.
If you don't know,
Drew Locke made Bill O'Brien do that.
If you don't know the lore of where that clip is from or why it even exists, Bill O'Brien and the Texans were getting their doors blown off by a bad Broncos team.
Yeah, I think they lost 38-3.
Yeah, you mentioned Drew Locke, so you know it's a bad Broncos team. Bad Broncos team's in town.
Four touchdowns.
And they're beating the Texans' ass.
I was at that game.
31-3 at the half.
Yeah.
Kareem Jackson had his revenge game. He had a fumble.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it was a fumble.
Fumble recovery and an interception return for a touchdown. It might have been flipped, but either way, he scored on a defensive touchdown in that first half. And as Bill O'Brien's walking off the field, just to speak to the difference between how D'Amico's treated and how Bill O'Brien was treated, there's a fan screaming at him saying, "You suck, Bill." And Bill O'Brien, well, you heard it. Let's hear it again, Sean. And Bill O'Brien, when questioned by it, tried to get off that a Bronco fan was yelling at him, and that's why he reacted that way, as if that's fine to do it either way.
Yeah, it's more okay.
But because it was a Broncos fan, allegedly, that, hey, I wasn't yelling at a Texan fan, like a Bronco fan would spend their time as they lead 31-3 yelling at the opposing coach. It never made sense logically.
Yeah. Also, screaming "You suck too" to the fan of the team that's up.
Yeah.
At halftime by probably four touchdowns. Yeah,
not a great approach. So, the Broncos are coming to town. No matter what the score is, I don't think we're getting a D'Amico Ryans versus fan moment. I just think the fans they'd be upset at 31-3. Sure.
I kind of hope.
So you're negative. You're like Landry Locker. Apparently,
I'm feeding off of it.
You're just like Landry, according to KJ. I'm not hoping for that, and I don't foresee it happening no matter what the score is, honestly. There's no score that I think could occur that maybe a fan would yell, but I don't think you're getting the D'Amico response.
D'Amico Ryans does I noticed in the other clip, too, the one that we played earlier. He does the passive-aggressive, like, chuckle when he's getting worked up. Like,
funny.
You hear it in that one a couple times.
Yeah. Ain't nothing funny here, but he's going to laugh as he gets going.
He did it also last week with the, like, I mean, you coach these guys up to do a certain thing and they don't listen. He starts to chuckle when he, like, is actually getting frustrated.
Yeah, that was regarding what they coach, not translated to what they see on the field.
And, they finally listened to him this week. Those players finally caught around
to
Old
D'Amico. According to that San Francisco guy, they weren't listening to Robert Saleh, and that's why it worked well for the Texans. Either way, let's go out there, have a good week of practice, see if Nico's back and ready to go tomorrow, and go out there and beat the Broncos so we can get away from all the negativity that is surrounding the team and their coach right now. But, hey, they're not going to listen to the noise, but maybe they were forced to address it. And the 49er content creator who made me question how great the Texans looked because he said how bad the 49ers were, it's Johnny Dell's F.A. Johnny with two N's, J-O-N-N-Y, Dell's F.A., or at Johnny Dell's. You can find, trust me, it's not me. You can find his breakdown of what went right for the Texans and what went really, really wrong for the 49ers. You know what? To be honest, I hope there's a Broncos creator who does the same thing on Monday going into Tuesday. Yeah, if that's the way it has to go, that's the way it has to go. I'll try to find out the origins of D'Amico's back and forth the last couple of days as we go to break. We'll get into hour two. We'll do our misery index. And you know what? We'll do this right. Not right now, but at 11 o'clock, if you want to go see the Cougs, all you got to do is be caller four. 11 o'clock, caller four, 713-780-3776. If you are the fourth caller, you win a pair of tickets to watch the Cougs as they honor heroes on and off the field. You can join the Cougs Saturday, November 1st, as they salute those who serve and honor that legendary 2015 Peach Bowl team when they take on West Virginia. If you don't get tickets from us, tickets start at just $20.15, and they're also going to honor UH Director of Strength and Conditioning, Coach Hester. He lost his battle of cancer this past Saturday. Coach Hester's favorite color was black, so in honor of him, Saturday's game will be a blackout. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS to get your tickets today. A pair of tickets at 11 to caller, did I say four or five? Let's go caller four. I don't remember. But
I also don't remember. Let's go. Caller four is the official
caller, one. Caller four is official. You got 5 minutes to adjust. Caller four at 11 o'clock wins those pair of tickets. Cougs, West Virginia. Hour one is done. We got one more hour to go. We will be back.
But first, YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and so much more. Take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN.
This is ESPN 97.5.